Let's pray. Father, we do give you thanks that you are faithful to your word, that your goodness is running after us. Lord, we confess there's times we wish it would catch up a little quicker. Lord, we confess that times we have questions, Lord, about the way things are going. But Lord, we trust that your word has truth, wisdom, direction, and the grace that we need for today. And so now, Lord, we ask that you might give that to us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, Jeremiah has a problem. Perhaps you have it too. Jeremiah was called as a young man to preach God's word. He told God he was too young. But God assured him. He said, "I will be with you and I will deliver you." In fact, God told Jeremiah, "I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall." God told him, the leaders, the people, they're going to be against you, but they shall not prevail. Again, he tells Jeremiah, "I am with you and I will deliver you." With those assurances, Jeremiah says, "All right, I'll do it." But 15 chapters in, it's not going well. The message God gives Jeremiah to preach is not a popular message. It's one of repentance. Judah is a nation in decline, in desperate need of repentance. But Judah's leaders, Judah's people, they don't want to hear it. They don't care what is true. They're offended that Jeremiah would speak to them in such a way, and they're plotting together to silence him. But Jeremiah's faithful. He doesn't compromise his message to try to make it a little easier on the people, to try to fit in, to gain acceptance. He preaches the truth. And Jeremiah perseveres. This lack of responsiveness would mark his entire ministry. Throughout all 52 chapters of Jeremiah, we're only given two instances in which someone responded positively to his message. Jeremiah preached through the reigns of the last four kings of Judah, and only two responded. Jeremiah is faithful, Jeremiah persevered, and Jeremiah is a man of God's word. Hear it again. Jeremiah says, "Your words were found, and I ate them. I took them in. I was nourished on your word. Your word became a part of me." He says, "Your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart." Jeremiah was faithful. He persevered, and he loved God's word. But Jeremiah has a problem. Jeremiah's problem is it's not going well. In Jeremiah 15, he describes himself. He's being persecuted, insulted, dishonored. He's being attacked by the wicked. He says it's given him a pain, a wound that will not heal. Jeremiah's problem is he understood that God would be with him. God would deliver him. And he's having a hard time reconciling God's promise with his current reality. Where is God? Where is this promised deliverance? Jeremiah compares God to a stream that flows after a thunderstorm, but before he can take a drink, it dries up. To put it bluntly, Jeremiah says, I've done my job, God. When are you going to do yours? Can you relate? Perhaps you raised your kids in the church. You made sure they were baptized and got them through confirmation, and you prayed for them. And yet now, as an adult, your child doesn't go near a church. Or you got the spot checked out as soon as you noticed it. And you prayed, and you asked your Bible study group to pray, and God gave you a real peace, and you felt good about the situation. But then the doctor called, and he said, you need surgery immediately. Or you said, I do. Swear to God, for better or for worse, till death do us part. You didn't know how bad worse could be, but you were faithful to your promise. You persevered. Life got better. But then your husband came and said, I'm not happy. You said, let's work on our marriage. He said, I want a divorce. You were faithful. You persevered. And now you're the single mom of three kids. Where is God's presence? Where is God's deliverance? Corrie ten Boom can relate. You know her story? A Dutch family of watchmakers. Every morning before work commenced, they would gather as a family as well as the workers that joined them for a devotion in God's word. When the Nazis invaded the Netherlands, they constructed a false wall in their home where they would hide the Jews and eventually help them to escape. But a neighbor turned them in. They were arrested. Within weeks, Corrie's father died. Corrie's sister, Betsy, a woman of great faith, and Corrie were placed in a concentration camp. Betsy died in the concentration camp. And the only reason we know the story is because Corrie was released because of a clerical error. Several weeks later, her entire barracks was put to death. Corrie is reported to have told God, it's no wonder you have so few friends. Look at how you treat them. Can you relate? Jeremiah has a problem, but he also has a solution. Jeremiah's solution can be expressed in two simple words, speak and listen. First, speak. I have a friend, we'll call her Sandy. Sandy has two grandchildren she spends a lot of time with. They're both toddlers, and being toddlers, inevitably there will be a meltdown or two during the day. There'll be a child on the ground, flailing, crying, distressed, upset, not listening, out of control. But Sandy, being the wise grandmother that she is, will get the child's attention and say gently but firmly, use your words. Use your words. Y'all, something magical happens at this point. The child will begin to calm down, take a deep breath, and use his words. And what happens next is unfiltered, utter honesty. Use your words. What's wrong? Well, I was playing, and I was having a good time, and you told me to clean up, and I didn't want to. Children haven't learned to polish up the little mess they've made, have they? They just state it like it is. But now that the child has used his words and stated clearly his complaint, it can be addressed. There may be an explanation. There may be a call to make an apology. There may be a call to repentance. But they're able to move forward. As long as the child is throwing a tantrum, they're stuck. No progress is made. Like toddlers, we still get upset as adults, don't we? In fact, we still throw tantrums. Now, we're a little more sophisticated, right? We don't typically throw ourselves on the ground and flail and kick and scream. But we do tend to grumble under our breath. We can mope around. We get a little matter of fact. We pray a little less. We find no joy in God's word. It's our way of saying, God, I don't like the way you're running things. We're very hesitant to use our words. We're very hesitant to say out loud to God what we really think about the situation. But as long as we're throwing our adult version of a tantrum, we're stuck. We're stuck in the situation. We're stuck in our suffering with no relief. We need to use our words. We need to speak. Jeremiah speaks. Verse 1, he tells God what he wants. He says, "Oh Lord, you know, remember me. Visit me." Isn't that really what we want in our suffering? Yes, we want the suffering to end. But even more so, we want to know that in the midst of this suffering, when things so seem so dark and hopeless and unbearable, we want to know God has not forgotten us. Remember me and visit me. God, I need you to show up. I need you to show up in this situation. And Jeremiah describes his complaint. "I've got a pain that won't be healed. I don't understand. You promised to be here. You promised to deliver. What is going on?" Jeremiah used his words, and now he can hear an answer. Until he uses his words, he's stuck in his tantrum. But now he's ready to hear God speak. And God does speak. "Therefore, thus says the Lord." That's kind of like when your spouse says, "We need to talk." "Thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me." If you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. Return. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? That's the first word we hear when we listen. First, we speak. Secondly, we listen. We listen, we hear the word return. That tells you you've lost your way. You've lost the path. You've perhaps begun to give more weight to your circumstances than you do to God's truth. You believe God's word of promise that he would be with you, that he would deliver you. But perhaps you didn't have an accurate picture of what that looks like for God to be with you, what that looks like for God to deliver you. And so the Lord invites us to return to him, to hear again his promise, to repent of the false ways we've been thinking, to be assured that God is still with us. You see, God calls us to lament. Now, lamenters are often wrong in some way, but God still calls us to lament, to use our words to say out loud what we really think, because then we're open to hearing what is really true. We're open to God's word. We're open to a new perspective, a new hope, and that's what the Lord gives them. He says, "I will restore you." And he says, "I will make you a fortified wall of bronze." That's what he promised back, all the way back in chapter 1. A wall of bronze. God is signaling to Jeremiah, the promise is still true. It has not been withdrawn. It has not been taken away just because you've lost your way, just because you've become overwhelmed in your circumstances, just because you're struggling in faith, the promise is still true. And then he says more. The Lord tells Jeremiah, "They, your enemies, shall not prevail over you, for I am with you to save you and deliver you. I will deliver you and redeem you." Y'all, this is how God treats his children. He never withdraws his promise. His word never fails. Though we doubt, though we lose our way, though we get overwhelmed, God does not waver. He remains for us. And he helps us. He helps us see that he is with us. And his deliverance is coming. It may not be here as quick as we want, but it is coming. Well, Jeremiah's solution is your solution. Speak and listen. You speak, you don't worry about saying it correctly. You don't say worry about saying it with all the right words and all the King James English. You just say it. You speak honestly. If you feel a little too timid to do that, read the Psalms. You'll be surprised how many Psalms, like say Psalm 13, begin with, Lord, how long until you show up? They're honest cries of the heart. Excuse me. But you have an advantage that Jeremiah didn't have. Jeremiah could only look forward and anticipate the Lord's deliverance. But you know that the Lord has sent his son to deliver. You know that you have a Father in heaven who watches over you. We'll get there. You have a son, the Son of God, Jesus himself, who intercedes for you. You have God's very Holy Spirit indwelling in you that takes your groanings, your cries of the heart, and puts words to those groanings and turns them into prayers to your Father in heaven. So speak and listen and listen. Your suffering won't last forever. Your deliverer who has come once to defeat your enemies of sin, death, and the devil at the cross, he's coming again. And when he comes again, all wrongs will be made right. All suffering will come to an end. And in the meantime, he meets you at his table. He meets you at his table to be with you, to visit you, and to remind you. Even as we at the table remember his cross, it's a reminder to us that he is not forgotten. That he shows up again and again to feed you, to strengthen you in faith, to sustain you through the trials of this world. Admiral Jim Stockdale was the highest ranking United States officer at the Hanoi Hilton, the horrific POW camp in Vietnam. Admiral Stockdale spent 8 years there, was tortured over 20 times. He has an amazing story to tell of how he survived. He said this, he said, I survived because I never lost faith in the end of the story. I never doubted not only that I would get out, but also that I would prevail. I never lost faith in the end of the story. His interviewer asked him a follow-up question, well, who didn't make it out? He said, the optimist. The optimist, the ones that said, we'll be out by Christmas. Then Christmas would pass, and they would say, well, we'll be out by Easter. And Easter would pass, and we'll be out by Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving would pass. Stockdale said eventually they died of a broken heart. He wrapped up his message with this. He said, you must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end, which you can never afford to lose, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be. You see what he's saying? Our faith that we will eventually prevail in the end is unmoved, even while we face honestly our current circumstances and don't have to pretend they're better than they are, but we can speak honestly to God and hear again his word of truth, his word of promise. He has sent his son to redeem you, to deliver you, and his son will come again. And when he comes again, he will rescue you and deliver you from all the suffering of this world, from your sin. The devil will be defeated finally and fully forever, and you will enjoy peace with him. So we speak, and we listen, and we never lose faith that we will prevail, not in our own strength, but by grace, through faith. He will redeem and he will deliver. Amen. Father, we thank you for the kind reminders that you are true to your word. We thank you for meeting us at your table, for feeding us with your body and blood. Lord, help us with whatever it is that's causing us to doubt, to take our eyes off you. Lord, strengthen us in faith. Remind us again, you've won the victory at the cross, and that Savior is going to come back for us. Sustain us until then. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.